Welcome back to Pracademically Speaking, the podcast at the intersection of research, policy, and the real work of running a correctional system. In corrections, we spend quite a bit of time responding to the urgent incidents, staffing challenges, operational demands, legislative questions. But every once in a while, an organization has to pause, lift its eyes above the daily grind, and ask a bigger question. Where exactly are we trying to go? Well, that's where strategic planning comes in. The Pennsylvania Department of Corrections recently developed a new five-year strategic plan, a roadmap for becoming a more intentional, data-driven organization. Today, we're joined by the person who helped lead that effort, Chief of Staff Randy Brandt. We'll talk about why the department chose this moment to develop a strategic plan, how the goals and measures were built, and what it will take for the plan to actually move the organization forward over the next 5 years. Stay tuned for a conversation where research meets the real world in corrections.
Hello, welcome back to a new episode of Pracademically Speaking. Today, I'm talking with Randy Brandt, Chief of Staff here at the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. And Randy has led the way in developing a new strategic plan for the Department of Corrections, which is the topic of our discussion today. So, Randy, appreciate you being on the podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for making time to discuss our strategic plan.
I'm excited about the conversation, and obviously I was involved a little bit, so we can make it more of a conversation, but really want to hear from you. And first of all, we like to, on the podcast, hear the person behind the story or the idea. So can you just tell us a little bit about your background in corrections and criminal justice, and also your current role as chief of staff, and kind of what does that mean, and what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I just wanted to correct you that you had a major role in our strategic planning process, as did our director of strategic planning. So really a collaborative effort that I'm appreciative for. And in terms of my background, so my degree is in a bachelor's degree in applied behavioral science, and that was a really cool program that was public policy, criminal justice, psychology, and sociology. And I had never really thought about getting into corrections, but my last semester, I had an adjunct professor who was a deputy warden at Lancaster County Prison, and he really opened our eyes to what careers in corrections can look like. He debunked some of the myths that are out there on TV, and he gave us a tour of the prison. And so it just kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And after graduating, I worked at Big Brothers Big Sisters for a while, coordinating some mentoring programs for kids. And then a position opened up at Adams County Adult Correctional Complex as a treatment specialist, and that's where I got my start in corrections. A little over a year later, in 2007, I came to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, started at SEI Camp Hill as their employment and vocational coordinator for inmates. And I loved that position. That just really got at the heart of what I'm about, you know, just kind of helping people, making sure people get what they need so then when they get out, they can be successful. Stayed in that role for a number of years, and then I transitioned to counselor, left the Department of Corrections in 2015, but still stayed adjacent, went to the Sexual Offenders Assessment Board as an investigator. And I was with that agency until I came back to corrections in 2023 in this current position. So whenever I talk about my background as a chief of staff, I do feel like I have a little bit of an untraditional route to get to where I'm at. But the key piece that I always think of is that every step along the way, my priority has been, how do we organize things? How do we communicate with people? How do we break down barriers and problem solve to get what we need to get done and to do it better? And so that skill, those, you know, priorities just kind of translated into this position. And so, you know, now as a chief of staff, that's kind of the biggest part of my role, right?
Yeah.
Is taking priorities and making sure that they become action, that they come to fruition. How do we problem solve? How do we get those barriers out of the way? I work a lot across teams, sometimes across agencies, just to make sure I'm clearly understanding where leadership wants to go, and then making sure that that message is translated, you know, to everyone else and kind of back and forth.
Yeah, to me, your chief of staff is kind of like the glue that holds the organization together, because everything's so siloed in corrections with different bureaus and different areas, different parts of the department. And so I see your position as like kind of like the glue that like brings everything together. So that leads us into strategic planning. And the department, I've been around for a while in corrections, and we haven't done a strategic plan here at the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections for a long time. I don't remember exactly when, but it's been a minute. So can you just talk us through why now? And also, what is the point of a strategic plan? What are we trying to accomplish as a department in terms of developing a strategic plan? And why now, again?
Sure. I think when you boil down the purpose of a strategic plan, it's super simple. You said it at the beginning. It's a roadmap. It's that high-level roadmap that shows what's the purpose of everything that we're doing, which is our mission. What are the big goals we need to achieve that mission, and what are the action steps we're going to take to get there? And then kind of that furthest down piece is, how are we measuring that? Like you said, you know, the department has, there's been so much success over the, you know, the history of the department. But when we actually looked and saw the last time that we measured and were specific about what we were trying to achieve, it had been a minute. And we decided that there's, you know, this is a huge agency. We have 17,000 employees. We have parole. We have corrections. We have community corrections. So there's a lot of people out there doing tons of good work, but we also have limited resources. So how do you prioritize those resources? How do you make sure that the most important initiatives that will accomplish our goals are funded, are supported, people are given time for? We're doing that through the strategic plan. I think we also realize that corrections is continually evolving, especially when you had COVID in there, since, you know, that was, I think, in the interim since the last time we updated our plan. And so everything from our metrics, you know, where we were at with recidivism back then compared to where we're at now, violence rates, you know, all of that has just changed and shifted with the world. So it was just kind of time to update that, to reacquaint ourselves with all of that. And I think that's what leadership wants to achieve, just to have that clear, focused goal and everyone knowing how they fit into that.
Yeah, and I think it helps with our budget process too, to help when we go before the legislature to request a budget, to have a roadmap of, hey, here's where we're going, and how does the funding fit into that roadmap of where we're going? And that's fresh on my mind and yours too, because we're just coming out of budget season and budget hearings, but I definitely think it helps with that too. And other agencies have strategic plans as well. When we look around, mm-hmm. I know when we were doing this, we were looking around, and other agencies have strategic plans. So it's a best practice, I think, for organizations.
More thing to that, you're exactly right about the funding. It's hard to ask for funding and support your funding if you can't show what you're doing with it. Right. But also, and we've talked about this before, you know, corrections can tend to be a bit of a more reactive field because there are emergent situations. Strategic planning really gives us that moment to take a breath and kind of like, okay, outside of what we need to be reactive to, let's plan ahead. Let's try to do what we can to avoid the need to be reactive where we can and still move forward.
Yep. Agreed. So working our way to our actual strategic plan now, can you walk us through the process of how this plan was developed? What was the process? And specifically, what was the thinking about building in a data-driven approach, since that's a focus of the podcast here, data research? What was the process for getting from start to end of the strategic plan?
I think at the forefront, a lot of the conversations revolved around making sure that we had buy-in, that we had the right people involved with it, that this wasn't just a plan that we're developing, you know, amongst a few individuals in a certain part of the agency that kind of didn't tap into what everyone else's needs are and what everyone's working on. So we wanted to make sure that everyone's contributing to it. And so for that reason, we started with developing a new mission statement back in, I believe it was June 2024. And that evolved through work groups who came up with a few suggested mission statements, and then we put that out to a vote to the entire department, every staff member, to contribute to selecting, you know, the mission that we were going to go with. And then once that was adopted, and, you know, Brett, you're intimately familiar with this, it was really over a year process of individual meetings, meetings with individual groups of people. So, you know, we really worked with all of our bureau directors. We tapped into some people out in the field to really, you know, you think when you look at the finished plan, it's like, oh, this is pretty simple. It's like these four high-level goals. That's common sense. But when you actually wade through all the work being done in the agency, it's not so simple. So it really just took time to listen to people, to clarify. And, you know, it also takes people some time, like you said, it being so siloed and people are down in the weeds of what they're doing, which they should be. But we have to like kind of pull them out and connect to this bigger, higher level plan. So that was really the bulk of it, was over a year of just meetings, conversations, going back and forth with executive leadership to ensure we were staying on the right page with their priorities. And then we spent a good bit of time after that narrowing down our key performance indicators. And so I think that's really where the data-driven approach comes in. We wanted to be very intentional about that, that everything we put in the plan, you know, there are some things that are maybe more, I don't know if qualitative is the right word, but, you know, hey, we want to try piloting new programs because we know pilots help us learn. But at the same time, we also, you know, wanted to make sure that everything that could be measurable is measurable. And so we took some time to like, how are we measuring our violence rates? Does that make sense? What's the better way to get the data that we're looking for? Just so that can inform all of our decisions.
Yeah. And so we have mission statement at the top, mm-hmm. goals. Mm-hmm. We have areas where we're going to try to get to those goals, and then we have key performance measures to measure each of those areas. So everything is kind of being measured along the way in terms of the structure of it.
Correct, good.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to pick up the discussion on the strategic plan and get into some more of the details of the plan as soon as we're back.
You're listening to Pracademically Speaking, a production of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Please share or cite any of the guests or content you hear on this podcast, but do not alter the audio in any way. Check for resources or publications mentioned in this episode in the show notes. Now, back to the host.
We're back with Randy Brandt, Chief of Staff for the Department of Corrections here, and we're discussing the new strategic plan for the department. And so, Randy, now let's turn to the content of the actual plan. We don't have enough time to get into all the details here, but could you just give us a preview at a very high level of the key goals? We talked about the goals at a high level, and then a flavor of maybe some of the action steps that we're looking to take and the measures of those action steps, just at a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's four key goals at the top of the plan that feed right into our mission statement. And we tied it into, which Brett, you're also have, you know, we're kind of one of the founding members of our Recidivism Desistance Initiative. The goal that was set for that was 10-20-30. So reducing things by 10 points by the year, by the end of the year 2030. So we tied that into our high level of the strategic plan. So you have the main categories, optimizing safety and security, which is reducing our overall violence by 10 points. The second one, reducing recidivism. And, you know, again, we're looking to reduce by 10 percentage points by the end of 2030. Demonstrating operational excellence, so that's all about our budget, and we wanted to make sure our budget growth doesn't exceed 10% across all the years through 2030. And then the final one, number four, is building and sustaining an engaged, effective workforce, and that's increasing our overall employee engagement survey rate by 10 points by the end of 2030. And so, you know, when you break those four categories down, the optimizing safety and security, that's really about, that's more focused on what's going on in SEIs. And so we're looking at everything from, you know, the department formed a violence reduction task force. I believe we borrowed that idea from New York Department of Corrections. to analyze and implement initiatives that are kind of best practices across the field of corrections here in Pennsylvania. We're also looking at what technology and AI tools are within reach for the department to use to target violence. Moving to reducing recidivism, that kind of moves us, it's still happening. That work is in the SEIs, but it's also happening in community corrections and in parole. And so, you know, that is just everything from the recidivism desistance initiative, looking to reduce that recidivism rate, having every facility and office analyze their own practices and their goals for recidivism. But it's also things like evaluating our treatment programs and making sure that they are producing the outcomes that we're looking for in terms of recidivism, which your office has always done but is going to continue to make a priority. On the parole side, we want to increase the parole success rates of people who are out during their first year. We know that's the most vulnerable time, so we have some kind of steps that we are taking to improve that. Then you move on to operational excellence. And of course, that's much more about the budget and just the functions of our department. That's really boiled down to using taxpayer money responsibly, making sure that we're doing what we should with that money and making the most impact. So we're looking at things, you know, we're in a 24/7 organization. It's not easy. We're going to have overtime, but we want to minimize that overtime as much as possible. We want to test out and implement some cost savings initiatives. We want to look at grant funding where we can. So that's where all of that comes into play. And then lastly, building and sustaining an engaged, effective workforce. That's about our staff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's truly the backbone of our agency. Yeah. And where we've really spent, you know, the development of the recruitment and retention team over the past decade. So it's really just enhancing those kind of efforts, focusing on ways to reduce the washout rate, the individuals leaving our agency after they start, implementing some staff wellness initiatives and a way to measure the effectiveness of those initiatives, making sure people have training, professional development opportunities.
And so all of those goals and all of those action plans, action items have to some extent measurable numbers behind them. So that ties into one of the biggest challenges, I think, with strategic planning that happens a lot, which is that you do it, you go through this whole process, and then it sits on a shelf, and agencies forget about it. And so, in your mind, what mechanisms are going to be in place with this new strategic plan to make sure that doesn't happen, that this isn't just a two-year-long exercise that we went through, and it sits on a shelf, and it's forgotten about? So, in your mind, how are we making sure, or how are we going to make sure that this strategic plan is actually followed through on?
Yeah, I would just say that's huge. I mean, that was at the beginning of all of our conversations of we don't want to do this if it's not useful. So it has to be something that's not just developed once, put on a shelf, and then in 10 years we're like, hey, we haven't updated this strategic plan.
Right.
So what we did to do our best to accomplish making this something that's useful is we tried to keep the goal simple, very specific, keep it a high level. That was part of that year-long process of having a bunch of individual conversations and meetings and working with our bureau directors. That was one of the biggest pieces of it, was dividing out what belongs at a high level on a plan versus what is the everyday work that people are doing all throughout the agency that doesn't need to be on that plan. We also wanted a plan that's adaptable. You know, we're making an educated guess of what goals we can achieve and making them a bit aspirational. But at the same time, corrections is always changing. So, you know, we want something that we can adjust if we're kind of finding that's not the right direction. We don't want people stuck to it. And we also want it measurable. So I did hear someone say recently in a presentation that the best strategic plans are one page. You can just glance at it and see it. And I feel like
I think the best everything is one page.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, you can take the first page of the strategic plan, like you said, see the mission, see these high-level goals, and that's enough to give you a feel for what we're trying to do here. I also think another component of making sure this is usable is thinking about how staff at every level are going to fit into it and how they're going to feel about it. So, you know, we think of our officers. There's, I think, close to 9,000. You know, they are doing the crux of the work in our agency. And so, you know, I put myself, if I put myself in their shoes as much as I could, I think, okay, great. You know, you develop this fancy plan, whatever, but this has nothing to do with me and the work I'm doing every day. But no, all it takes is looking at that first goal, safety and security. That's literally what they are doing every day, every interaction they have, every, you know, fight they prevent, everything that they're doing fits right there along with in most of the other goals. I even put myself back when I was an employment and vocational coordinator. Very easy for me to see the connection that I would have to the plan in terms of reducing recidivism by, you know, helping people get vocational skills and job experience. So in order to make sure that it is used, though, we have a continuous implementation and feedback loop. That's kind of what we built into it. Brett, you and your staff have a dashboard that you've been using for years that you're updating to match the new plan. And that's something that's shared with leadership staff throughout the year, regular intervals, to just kind of look like, hey, are we getting, you know, are we staying on track? Are we not? If we're not, why? Is it that we need to change that direction because the plan got something wrong? Or is it just that we need to adjust some of the actions because we're not getting to where we still want to go? And then we're going to do a formal review at the end of each year to kind of, you know, again, just more formalize that the specific answers to those questions in terms of, are we on track? Are we getting to where we need to go? And, you know, that involves a lot of feedback from the people that are doing the work every day.
Yeah, I think the two things I heard that you said that are really important, one is helping everybody in the organization figure out how they fit in, how their piece of the pie fits into the strategic plan. And the second thing is developing something that's aspirational, but also achievable. So it's not so aspirational that we'll never be able to accomplish it. But if it's such low-hanging fruit that we can achieve it in 6 months, or it's so easy to achieve that it doesn't push the bar really to improve us as an agency. So fast forward to the end of the five-year plan. What would success look like to you? How would the department be in a different place if this plan is realized?
I love this question, and it ties into what you just said about aspirational. If this plan were fully 100% successful, you know, we're going to, first and foremost, everyone, staff, inmates, reentrants, and very importantly, the public are going to be safer. Individuals who move through our system at whatever level, in an SEI, you know, on parole, in a community correction center, are going to be able to reintegrate successfully, which is going to help them, their families, and society as a whole. We're going to minimize our budget growth, and that's going to free up taxpayer dollars for other priorities in the Commonwealth. So that's huge. And that the last high-level goal about staff is, you know, if we're able to achieve that, we're going to have staff that believe in and are committed to our mission, maybe in a deeper way than they are today. And in turn, we're going to be able to feed them through staff wellness programs, professional development. And it leads to hopefully more people feeling that when they join this department, it's more than just a job. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a career. They're part of the mission. We're all working toward these common goals. And they'll know they're valued. And I did want to be clear that, you know, we've already achieved so much success. So it's really just building on that. It's kind of taking it to the next level and just seeing how far we can get with those goals.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we're out of time. Thanks so much, Randy, for being on. And thanks for all your leadership on developing the strategic plan. And I really do think that this is going to move the department forward in important ways in achieving what we want to accomplish in our mission statement for the department. So thank you a lot for that and for being on the podcast. And we'll be back in a few weeks with another episode of Pracademically Speaking.
Thanks for listening. Check out Pracademically Speaking wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is the conversation where ideas and numbers get real, on the ground and in practice. Pracademically Speaking is a production of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections.